Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party and bringing up the rear, that's right, the New Zealand first dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese Shar Pei. What a bitch.
It's political commentary.
Good morning, David.
Morning, Hannah. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Never better, and thanks for asking.
How are you enjoying the cool weather in the morning?
Oh, man, I went for a run yesterday in the sun, and I was thinking, this is beautiful. But I'm not having to get up quite as early as you, so I'm not feeling the chills, perhaps.
Well, good on you for going for a run. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, I run for my life. I had a heart attack when I was 27, and I've been running ever since.
God, oh my God, that would be a life changer.
It surely was. It was on my 27th birthday. I had no idea. I thought,
no way.
I'll be so embarrassed when I walk out of this hospital with a couple of quickies.
Yeah.
But no, it was the real thing.
Hey, well, kudos to you for for running.
Cheers. And I'm going to miss you guys.
Yeah.
You're off, right?
Yeah, you've been really good. We'll miss you too. Hey, well, today we're looking a little bit at the cabinet reshuffle. So Bill English has reshuffled his cabinet for this year. So what changes have been made?
Not enough.
Okay.
Because Nick Smith is still there, and I can't imagine any other Prime Minister would have had him in the housing role after all that has failed to change. If it went a Prime Minister who was a long-time mate of his, and I don't think he's the guy who can do it.
Why do you think they've kept him then?
Well, because of that mateship, the English and he started out together, essentially. They've been through a lot together.
Yeah.
And also, you don't like to admit you're wrong. And that would have been a difficulty for them, perhaps, to say, this guy can't do it, we've got to do something else. Mm. But I'm not also, but just flipping it over here now, I'm not necessarily sure they're prepared to admit that things need to change in a comprehensive enough way anyway. So who would do it? What other minister would come at it? I don't see somebody there who's prepared to take a different point of view. And that is the thing about this cabinet and has been for the whole time John Key has been there. It's been more like a company executive, if you like, where you've got a chief executive and a bunch of managers reporting to him, and they're very dutiful and biddable, and that you don't have a sort of a contest of ideas. You just have a bunch of ambitious people saying, "How high, boss?"
Yeah,
and jumping that high.
I never thought about it like that, but that's it's a good way of looking at it.
Well, it's frustrating, you know, because you actually want some strong competing ideas being thrown around the table. And I'm not saying that that wouldn't happen at all, but there is much more of that kind of phenomenon in there, and that means that there's the problem altogether with this government is they're not bold enough, they're not prepared to consider big enough changes, and that's why we're stuck with a few central problems, namely housing is so unaffordable, especially in Auckland. Secondly, the environment is still not being fixed, and in particular, our rivers are shocking.
Yeah.
And we've got a growing inequality problem, and nothing's happening about that. They're just rolling along, just very apathetically, and it's not enough.
They tend to think that they're making big changes, though.
Well, I know, and my bigger beef, and this is nothing new about this, but we've been talking about this for as long as I can remember. In New Zealand, we need to diversify our economy. because most of what we make our money out of is stuff that people eat or wear or just belatedly tourism. And where is our high value economy? Where is our where is the diversification that would, for example, could, for example, fill up all of our small towns with high tech industry, take the pressure off Auckland, and use the spare infrastructure we've got in all of those towns. All of that, you know. And how about this? You know, we went to a huge amount of difficulty and effort to make a main trunk railway line that went from one end of the country to the other, which potentially means you can move vast numbers of people and freight in a very economically sensible and sustainable way. But we've just ignored it. Instead, we have to keep building more and more motorways for cars.
Yeah.
In a way that will just never actually pay out, because what we know about cars is you make another lane, you just get more cars, and it never gets better.
Isn't what you're wanting, eh? You want to get rid of cars.
Yeah. And so, for example, how about we had, between Hamilton and Auckland and Whangarei and Auckland and Tauranga and Auckland, high-speed rail that meant that maybe once every 30 minutes an hour you could get on a train and get to those other places. You could then create an economic hub that was as big in those other cities as Auckland is, and you would have people travelling in comfort, where instead of steaming behind the wheel of a car and maybe getting carved up on that terrible piece of road, for example, to start off Tauranga on the way to Karikari. We have all of these reasons why rail was put there and could be really beneficial for us and for the environment. They're just doing nothing about it. They can't, and maybe, here's a clue, they can't think big because they did that once and it really bit them on the ass. But that's no reason for not trying again. It really isn't.
So looking back just briefly at the cabinet reshuffle, a lot of people are calling the reshuffle conservative. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, very cautious. And that, you know, you move Nikki Kaye up from on education mess from associate, and not fair enough. She's capable, but she's not a big thinker. It feels to me. Mark Mitchell has become defence minister. Well, you know, he's capable enough, but no. Likewise, Scott Simpson, Tim McIndoe, they're all
capable
able people, but not sort of. I can't think of anything I've heard any of them say that makes me think, wow, never thought of that before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Amy Adams, maybe she's a little bit more able in the way that lawyers are so full of themselves. I don't know that necessarily there was somebody else they could have grabbed to say, hey, let's have him or her, because they're really amazing, but certainly what we've got is just more of the same, because Bill English genuinely believes they're doing just fine and we'll just keep rolling as we're you know, he is the true embodiment of the old Kiwi cliche of she'll be right. It's not right.
And how are they looking coming into the election?
Well, exactly that, I guess, you know,
she'll be right.
Complacency can come back and bite you, and I suspect that there's the huge frustration people have with the cost of the affordability of housing must surely translate into votes at some point. What you do see again and again is you think, oh well, Greens this time, but then they never get past sort of 10 or 11%. Labor maybe are pulling some back. The most likely thing to change, I think, is more votes for Winston Peters. And after his immigration effort yesterday, you can only feel a bit dispirited about that because, Jesus, that was a cynical thing to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, David, for speaking with us this morning.
Hannah, it's been really great working with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hope to see you somewhere again, somewhere soon.
You most definitely shall. And enjoy your day, and I hope that you're going to go for another run today.
Promise.
Brilliant. Cool. We'll enjoy that as well.
Terrific.
Cool. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
is XTC When You're Near Me, I Have Difficulty. Before that, we had Future Islands with Ran. I heard that track so many times. And we also had Here Lies Man, Belt of the Sun. We've got some news coming up soon. And then after that, I'm going to play you a couple of my own tracks that I've selected. And also, thanks so much to Anna and Nico for texting in. I'm going to play for you the au pairs as well. So if you are hanging on for that, don't worry. It's gonna come soon. Yeah.
BFM News.
Atamaria, good morning. Ko Shemina Smith, toku ingoa, kua waru karaka. It's 8 o'clock. Members of a group protesting the proposed special housing area beside the Mangere o Tuatoa Stonefields are travelling to the UN headquarters in New York to plead their case. The UN Permanent Forum for Indigenous Issues will hear a submission from Save Our Unique Landscape regarding the historical and spiritual concerns with the build. Spokesperson Brendan Corbett says it was a matter of hours before enough money had been pledged to fund the trip. Corbett says the protest has allowed New Zealanders to uncover the levels of colonial misinformation and educate themselves on the history of the Stonefields. Winston Peters is denying his comments regarding a Herald article on immigration were racist. The article, written by senior reporters Lincoln Tan and Harkanwal Singh, said Statistics New Zealand data revealed Asia was not the source area of a rise in foreign workers. Peters then issued a statement labelling the article New Zealand Herald propaganda written by two Asian immigrant reporters. Herald editor Murray Kirkness has described Peter's comments as a new low in political rhetoric. Amnesty International are calling for the end of Duterte's war on drugs in the Philippines. With the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit approaching, Amnesty International have called on the leaders of the participating nations to investigate what they are calling potential crimes against humanity in the country. Amnesty International New Zealand spokesperson Meg Durand says although Amnesty has called on the members of the summit to take a stand, she cannot say for sure if they actually will.
We're putting it in their hands, we're asking them to do so, and over 20 section leaders for Amnesty International around the globe have signed on calling on them to do it. So it remains to be seen what will happen this week.
The summit will take place later this week in the Philippines capital of Manila. The European Commission has launched legal action against Hungary over a new higher education law. The Commission believes the law, passed earlier in April, undermines the principle of academic freedom and is incompatible with the European Union's democratic values. This could lead to the closure of the Budapest-based Central European University, founded by US financier and liberal philanthropist George Soros. The move against the Central European University reflects Prime Minister Viktor Orban's dislike for the philanthropist's liberal and internationalist worldview he promotes through his organisations. The Commission, which supports EU laws, has sent a letter of formal notice to Budapest as a first step towards an infringement procedure. And the winner of this week's BFM Top 10 is Auckland artist AC Freezy with their track Creeping In. AC Freezy blitzed through the top 10, shooting from number 9 last week to the number 1 spot. New contender Batten de Cul-de-Sac cruised into second place for their first week in the top 10. To vote for the top 10, head to 95bfm.com/top10 or text vote and the name of your song to 5395. And that's the news.
Is your longboard charged? Because it's time for the 95BFM Surf Report, thanks to P2 Power. Join up at p2power.co.nz.
Hello. Ah, oh, hello. Yo, where are you at?
I think we dropped the call.
Oh, we dropped him.
Let's call it online.
Alice. Okay. Unbelievable. Alice is just so incompetent sometimes. Don't you love that sound? This is awkward.
No, wait, we can get it going.
Okay, I just don't know if people want to hear this horrible dinging.